Welcome back to Feed on Econ, where we give you the rundown on the newest feed for the economy. I'm your host, Simka Peach, and we will be talking about a conceptual topic on this week's episode, Trickle-Down Economics. Before we dive into the econ side of trickle-down economics, we need to understand that the concept is highly politicized. The reason being that its effects are hard to measure and cannot simply be captured by the standard indicators that we may already know, like GDP or inflation. There's also no set divide on what qualifies a trickle-down policy and what does not. Although it is commonly associated with supply-side economics, there is no single comprehensive policy identified as trickle-down economics. At this point, you may be asking yourself a lot of questions. If trickle-down economics is not really economics, and if there's no real example of one, how can I identify them? Well, there are a couple of general characteristics that set trickle-down economic policies apart from others. First, a trickle-down economic policy will disproportionately benefit wealthy businesses and individuals in the short run. Second, the policy is designed to boost the standard of living for all individuals in the long run. Here again, you might be wondering, how is this possible? Don't these goals contradict each other? Well, get comfortable because this is where we get into how it all happens, or at least how it's supposed to go down. The term trickle-down economics first surfaced during the Great Depression when comedian and commentator Will Rogers used the term to describe President Hoover's stimulus efforts to revive the failing economy. More recently, and probably where you may have heard this term, is in regards to President Reagan's tax cuts in the 1970s. Trickle-down economics all starts with Congress lowering tax rates for high-income individuals and companies. In some cases, Congress will also pass looser business regulations. The general idea here is that the top, hence the trickle-down, pays less money to the government via taxes and other means, and that these savings are then distributed in the economy. As a result of these cuts, more money can stay in the private sector, allowing businesses to make investments, such as upgrading technology and equipment, or buying new factories. Businesses and corporations can also afford to hire new workers with the money that they previously had to pay to the government. The top tax bracket can also spend more money with the extra money that they now have, which creates greater demand in the economy and ultimately spurs economic growth and more jobs. Workers also get to spend and invest more. This creates growth in industries such as automobiles, consumer goods, retail, and housing, increasing workers' standard of living. And since people keep more of the money that they make with lower tax rates, they're incentivized to work and invest. As a result of this widespread economic growth, the government takes in more tax revenue via retail and investment taxes. So much so that the added revenue can make up for the difference of the original tax cuts for the wealthy and corporations. Quite unique. More after this short break. Welcome back. Before the break, we learned about what trickle-down economics is, but one important question remains unanswered. Does it actually work? Trickle-down policies typically increase wealth and advantages for those that are already wealthy. Although proponents like to argue that putting more money in the hands of the wealthy and corporations promotes spending and free market capitalism, many like to point out that this stance fails to recognize that this is only possible because of government intervention. Critics of trickle-down policies also argue that the added benefits the wealthy receive distort the economic structure because lower-income earners don't receive the same cuts. They argue that this difference magnifies income and economic inequalities. Many economists believe that cutting taxes for the poor or working families actually would do more for the economy than tax cuts for the rich, because these citizens are more prone to actually spend the added income because they need to. A tax cut for a corporation might go to a stock buyback program, while high-income earners may just save the extra money instead of spending it. Important and hard questions also arise with trickle-down economic policies, like which industries receive subsidies and which ones don't. And like we have already discussed, how much growth can actually be directly attributed to trickle-down economics? To find out, we don't need to look far. Many economists consider President Trump's Tax Cuts and Jobs Act of December 22, 2017 to be a form of trickle-down economics. The law cut personal and business tax rates, but the effects of the policy are still debated to this day. Think about what has changed in your life since 2017. It may just be the result of this very act. Well, that's all I have for you today. Thank you so much for tuning in to this week's Feed on Econ episode, and if you have any questions, please do not hesitate to reach out. Until I see you next time, take it easy.